Good afternoon, this is Brother John Osborne here at the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly at WYRN 1480 AM, and we're so thankful that you joined us for another time of worship and learning from God's Word. We've been studying Babylon for a long time because it's the scriptures are showing us where we're at on God's timetable, and we're at the end of the church age. We're going to be coming out of Revelation chapter 17. We're going to be studying today the subject, Babylon Built the Catholic Church. Another title we could give this is The Church That Nimrod Built. And again, we're not wanting to sound mean or ugly towards any Catholic people, but it is on record how that the Catholic Church has been intertwined with political power, and God, Jesus Christ, never started any church to be intertwined with political power. Revelation 17, verse 1 through 5 says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show thee into the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth, and the abominations of the earth." And verse 6 says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." We're going to be looking in the next couple weeks at what Revelation 17 is saying about this great whore. I believe we have some explanations that Rome is represented here, because if you look at verse 9, it says, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." There's only one city in secular history that's known as the city that dwells among the seven hills, and that is Rome. And so we have to ask ourselves, what church come out of Rome? Now, the Lord had a church there in the book of Romans, because he deals with baptism in chapter 6. But that is not the Catholic Church. Now, there are some that believe the Catholic Church came from one of the Lord's churches. It started at least with one of the Lord's churches that was going astray, that was falling into apostasy. And I think, now I'm not saying that's impossible. I'm not even really going to say I'm going to disagree with that. I'm just going to go another direction. I think she came from another way, and we'll see in this system. But last week, we saw where the Babylonian system that was set up at the Tower of Babel was scattered across the world as the people left the Tower of Babel. There was a religious as well as a political system that was set up at the Tower of Babel. We got to keep remembering that, because that is so important. That is why that things are the way they are today. Both systems were godless. You can read Genesis chapter 11, especially verse 4. They did not want God there at all, not even mentioned in that city where the tower was being built. And as I just stated, this explains why that the world is in the shape it's in today, is this system never went out of existence. Wherever the people went and settled down, they brought that with them. That's all they knew. There's a spiritual darkness that has come over the earth today that has not been here since the days of Noah, just before God sent the flood. You can read in Genesis 6, verse 1 through 13, about how wicked the world had become, and folks were in that very same condition. There has never been as much confusion as what we're witnessing here in the last year and a half to 2 years in this country. Our country's history, from the time the pilgrims got here until just a couple years ago, we've never seen nothing like what we are witnessing here in the last couple years. We're getting ready for some big things The biggest thing is the rapture for the saints of God, the resurrection and the rapture. And then after we're gone, the tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week. But in Genesis 11, verse 1 through 9, I want you to see that man challenges God at the Tower of Babel. God in Genesis 1, verse 26, told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth. And they were not to stop in the land of Shinar like the people did in Genesis 11, verse 2, and make a home there. But that's exactly what they done. And also I want you to take note how that the whole earth was of one. And that's exactly what's happening today. I just saw in the news where that it's very possible that our president, Joe Biden, could and may sign over all of our medical freedom to the World Health Organization, known as WHO. This is the one of the first steps that tyrants take in taking over the lives of their people. Hitler did it. Other socialist leaders, from what I've heard, one of the first things he done was he took over the medical part of their society. And then I think the second thing they done, I've heard said, is that they then do away with the preachers. Little do these people know that settled down at the Tower of Babel in the plains of Shinar, that what they were doing there was going to be the cornerstone as to how Satan was going to use what they were doing to shape the world and the events, the governments. Satan was working behind the scenes at the Tower of Babel. You say, where did Satan get this power? When did he become the prince? And we're going to see here in a minute where Jesus even calls Satan the prince of this world. Where did he get this position? When did he get this position? The only place I can find in the Bible is in Genesis 3, verse 6. When Adam sinned against God, he gave up his position that God had given him. And it doesn't say this, but you can see that he was a prince, because he was given the authority from God to name all the creatures. And so Adam, he gave up his position as the prince of the world, and guess who took it? Satan did. God permitted Satan to take that position that Adam had to start controlling the world. Now, I told you that I was going to show you in the Bible where even Jesus called Satan a prince. If you want to go to John chapter 12, verse 31, you can see where that, as I get over there, let me turn quickly and we can see where our blessed Savior, in John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." And so, it says there, now the prince, Jesus spoke about the prince of the world, and I thought I had the wrong scripture here. Wait a minute, I'm in chapter 13, that's why. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out." So Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world in John chapter 14, verse 30. "Hereafter," Jesus said, "hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." And in 16, verse 11, he said, "of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world three times. Now, when you go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 11, you're going to see where Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he, Jesus, would bow down to him. And Satan could not offer that if he was not the ruler of those kingdoms. Satan is ruling the world right now, but by God's permissive will. Satan has a chain upon him. Jesus Christ is a king in the waiting. There will be a day come after the tribulation period when he will become the prince and the king of the world and of the whole universe. But the only place we can find where Satan became the prince of this world is in Genesis 3, verse 6. So what does Satan have the people do in the land of Shinar? He has them to disobey God by stopping there to settle down and create a religion and a political system that he would use until Jesus defeats him at Armageddon. That's how long this system's going to be here. And as I stated, Satan, not Jesus, is ruling the world today. Because if Jesus was ruling it, I can promise you that none of this insanity that we're witnessing, that we've been witnessing really strongly here in the last year and a half, 2 years, would not be taking place. Satan has those in Genesis 11, verse 4, in the land of Shinar, to create a religion of humanism. Listen to what verse 4 says. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And here it is. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So man right here is challenging God not long after God decimated the world with the flood. But he decimated it because the whole human race was rejecting the Lord and his name. There were only 8 souls saved. And so, we've got to, Methuselah died the year of the flood, and Enoch was taken out about 400 years before the flood. And only those that were in the ark were the ones that were saved. Nobody else was saved. All babies in the womb, just being born, those that were being born, those that had just been born, little children, teenagers, young people, middle-aged people, elderly people, any and all who were not in the ark perished and are in hell today burning. Nimrod was in control at the Tower of Babel. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 8 through 11, you'll see in verse 10 where he built Babel and a few other kingdoms. And therefore, he was there at the Tower of Babel. He was the leader of this self-worshipping religion that was at the Tower of Babel that was started there. Matter of fact, he was used of Satan to instigate it, where it says, let us make us a name. Now we're going to get into actually the Pope, the office of the Pope. Nimrod was actually your first Pope. He was the first man, as far as I can tell in the Bible, who had political and religious power. Now, this is a very dangerous mixture of the two of the most important parts of society, religion and politics, because they involve every part of our lives. And for a depraved man, especially one that's as evil as Nimrod, who I believe was a type of the Antichrist, to have that kind of power is not only dangerous, but very deadly. There's only one who is able to handle that much power, religious and political, and that's Jesus Christ. I believe Nimrod was a type of the Antichrist. How can I know this? He didn't want God to have any part in his city or tower. He did not want God mentioned. And so, I believe he was a type of the Antichrist. Last week we saw where two Roman emperors set up the modern office of the Pope, which proves that God has nothing to do with this position. In 367 AD through 383 AD, we saw where Gratian, G-R-A-T-I-N, the Emperor of Rome, refused to wear the title Pontifex Maximus, which means bridge builder between heaven and earth. He did not want to wear that title, so what did he do? He bestows, or he gives this title to Pope Damascus. He resigned over his emperor powers, and therefore, since the days of Nimrod, Pope Damascus is the first one I can read of that has absolute religious and political power. And so in 538 AD, the Emperor Justinian made the Pope the supreme authority in religious matters, and which opened the door for the modern day popes that we have today. And they now believe that they are the vicar of Christ, or one that stands in the place of Christ. That's why that they did not tolerate anybody disagreeing with them. This is blasphemous. Only Jesus can stand between God and man. Not another individual, not another depraved individual. How do I know popes are depraved? Because they die. Romans 6 verse 20 says, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you where God meets man. He doesn't meet them where the pope's at. God meets man at the cross of Jesus. That's where God meets man. That's where he met me. That's where he met Adam and Eve. That's where he meets all of those that he chose before the world began to be saved. So, how can we condemn this belief of the Pope being the vicar of Christ? With the scriptures. In John chapter 14, verse 15 through 17, and we're going to also, I'm not going to read all the verses, but in chapter 16, verse 5 through 14, you're going to see where that the Holy Spirit is the one who was going to come after Jesus ascended to heaven and replace his physical presence. In John 14, verse 15 through 17, listen to this. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And then in John 16, you start at verse 5 when you have time, but let's go to verse 13. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, verse 14, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Jesus did not appoint any pope to be standing in his place. I want you all to understand this. I hope that if there's Catholic people listening on sermon audio or to this radio message, I want you to understand this because I love you, that you're being deceived. You've got to read the Bible. We'll get into that here at the end of this message. But Jesus never ordained a depraved fallen sinner to be the mediator between heaven and earth. Now keep in mind, it was the two Roman emperors that we just mentioned that started the modern day office of the Pope. Now I want to take now a look at the things that offend God about the office of the Pope. First, in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Catholic Church believes that Jesus built the Catholic Church. If you will read your history, and especially the Dark Ages, you will find where the Catholic Church murdered. John Fawkes and other church historians have it estimated at 50 million Christians. Jesus Christ is not going to build a church that's going to kill his own people. The first thing that offends God about the office of the Pope is they believe that when Jesus built his first church in Matthew 16, verse 18, that he appointed Peter as to be the head of it or be the Pope. Now, Peter's name does mean rock, but there's two things wrong with this belief. Jesus is, first of all, he did not appoint any depraved man to be the head of any of his local churches. Jesus did not appoint man to be the head of his churches because he alone is to be the head. As you see in Ephesians 1, verse 20 through 23, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, where Peter calls him the chief shepherd, which means all the pastors are simply under-shepherds, not dictators. Peter's name in the does mean a rock. In the Greek, the name Peter is pronounced Petros, which means a piece of a rock that you can hold. You cannot build or construct a building on a rock that you can hold. But you can, since Jesus is speaking about himself being upon this rock, when he said, "Upon this rock," and I believe he might have even laid his hand on his chest so his disciples could see he was talking about himself. When he said, "Upon this rock," talking about himself, "I will build my church." 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 tells us about this foundation that each of the Lord's churches are built upon. It says, "No other foundation can be laid than that which is laid other than the Lord Jesus." The second thing that bothers God about the office of the Pope is Jesus does not appoint men to be the head over areas or regions. If you read church history, you'll read about so-and-so man being the bishop of a whole area. Jesus appoints men to be pastors of his ecclesias, local churches. There is no such thing as the third thing that bothers him is the name Catholic itself, or the universal church. The name Catholic means universal. There's no such thing as a universal church. And so many people believe in this. Excuse me. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. And we've preached on this before. It means a calling out, religious assembly, or meeting. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 11 verse 18 says. First of all, when you come together in the church. He's talking to the Corinthians who were members of a particular body there. There was more than one ekklesia or church in Corinth. And he's writing, he said, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. What I want you to see is the first part of that verse. First of all, when you come together in the church. Do you know it's an impossibility for all the saints of God to come together? Therefore, there's no such thing as a universal church. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. The first part of that verse is what I want you to look at. When you come together, therefore, into one place. It is an impossibility for all the saints of God to come together into one place. That's not going to take place until the rapture, when all the saints of God from Adam and Eve up to the rapture are taken to meet the Lord in the clouds. And then finally, we will all be in one place when it's all said and done after the great white throne judgment, where all the lost that have lived upon the earth from Cain all the way up will be judged at the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, and will be thrown into hell forever. And then all the saints of God will be together into one place. But that is not an ecclesia like a church. That simply means there will be only one assembly that will be together in heaven. The other assembly will be in hell burning, all the lost. So there's no way everybody can come together. If Peter was the first pope, then why did Paul rebuke him openly? Let me tell you something. When you rebuke the pope, as we'll see here just in a minute, it could and it did cost many their lives. But you go to Galatians 3, verse 11 through 16, you'll see where Peter is rebuked by Paul in front of everybody. Peter was fellowshipping with the Gentiles. When the Jews would show up, he would drop the Gentiles like a bad habit and start fellowshipping only with the Jews. And Paul said, I confronted him face to face. This made Paul mad. And so there's no way Peter was a pope and being rebuked by Paul. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 through 15, Peter was married. That does away with Peter being the pope, doesn't it? So the Catholics today believe that Pope Francis, which is the pope today, is the 265th successor to Peter's office as a pope. None of the apostles believed they were infallible when they spoke the word of God. Did you know that the Catholics believe the pope is infallible when he speaks the scriptures? They simply believe, the apostles did, and so do God's men today, that they were nothing more than God's mouthpiece. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 9, they knew that they were sinners saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Romans 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But the Catholic Church and the popes believe that when they, the popes, make official statements for the church and are speaking from the Bible, they are infallible. But every one of God's preachers, I do for sure, makes mistakes when they preach from time to time. We'll get a name wrong. If popes were infallible, they would not teach the heresies that are found in the Catholic Church. Well, but God's men, like myself, we might get a name wrong or where a scripture's at, but not, we won't get a doctrine wrong. If we do, it's just what was in our heads didn't come out correctly. If popes were infallible, they wouldn't teach the heresies that the Catholic Church teaches. If popes were infallible, there would never have been a need for a Reformation period, which the Baptists are not part of that Reformation period, but that's where all the Protestant churches came from. Anglican, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Moravians. These churches came out of the Catholic Church. This country is actually a Church of England country because the Pilgrims were part of the Church of England. If popes were infallible, they would not have made laws against people having their own Bibles. Popes and the Catholic Church ruled over people, the people of Europe, by keeping them ignorant of the Scriptures. The Catholic Church and her popes, and listen to this, kept 90% of the people illiterate. Why would they do that? They didn't want them learning to read or write, so they could control them. That is why the Catholic Church or popes hated John Wycliffe and William Tyndale the way they did. Next thing I want you to look at is how the Catholic Church was formed. According to history, around 378 AD, Damascus I, whom Gratian bestowed his title Pontifex Maximus on, Damascus I began converting Babylonian pagan temples that were there in Rome into supposedly Christian churches. But they worshiped the false trinity of Nimrod, Semiramis, and baby Tammuz. Now, Nimrod married, his wife was his mother, according to history. Semiramis, or some pronounce it Semiramis, either way, he married his mother. And after he died, she became pregnant, quote, mysteriously. She was a whore. And Tammuz was supposed to have been, miraculously born like Jesus. Semiramis was not a virgin. She was married. But supposedly, she had Tammuz without the aid of a man. That's impossible. But listen to this. This is where our December 25th holiday comes from. John Fox, author of the Fox's Book of Martyrs, what he said about John Wycliffe after Pope Martin had his bones dug up from his grave and burnt to ashes. In 1428 AD, 43 years after John Wycliffe died, Pope Martin had Wycliffe's bones dug up to be burned to ashes simply because Wycliffe wanted everybody to have a copy of the Bible. Wycliffe, listen to what he said. He said, "And like the River Swift, which runs into the Avon, and the Avon into the Severn, and the Severn into the Bristol Channel, which empties into the oceans of the world, so did the proliferation of God's Word go to the ends of the earth." Now listen to what else he wrote. "On that great day when the trump shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, Brother John will recompose into a heavenly body from 1,000 ocean waves and rise to meet his Lord and Savior in the air, the morning star of the Reformation period, joining hands at last with his bright and morning star." William Tyndale was another one who got in trouble with the Pope and the Catholic Church because he too wanted people to have a copy of the Scriptures. So in 1379, Pope Gregory the 11th issued 5 bulls against John Wycliffe, calling for his arrest because he was preaching against the Catholic Church. That's what got Wycliffe in trouble. He began preaching against the doctrines of the Catholic Church. William Tyndale was executed because he just simply wanted the people to have a copy of the Bible. The Catholic councils that condemned common people from having Bibles, the Baptist Pillar, which was a Baptist paper in Canada, said during the Dark Ages, which was 500 to 1500 AD, Rome burned Bibles along with their owners. 1229 AD, the Council of Toulouse, France said, "We prohibit that the laity should not be permitted to have books of the Old or New Testament. We most strictly forbid their having any translation of these books." 1233 AD, Pope Gregory the 9th organized the Inquisition, which is a tribunal to investigate heresy, and formed what was called the Index of Forbidden Books to Read. And guess what was on that list? You got it, the Bible. In 1234 AD, the Council of Tarragona, Spain, "No one may possess the books of the Old Testament or New Testament, and if anyone possesses them, he must turn them over to the local bishop within 8 days so that they may be burned." In 1525 AD, 6,000 copies of William Tyndale's English translation of the New Testament was burned by the Church of England, which is under papal authority. Folks, listen. We got a lot more to study about this Catholic Church, and I want you to understand that when we're done with this, you're going to see the Catholic Church truly is the church that Nimrod built, the Babylonian Church. This is Brother John Osborne here at the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly. We pray that you'll join us next Sunday at 3 p.m. here at WYRN, 1480 a.m. Until then, may God richly bless your soul, is my prayer. God bless.